Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
We have established who is speaking today. I'm not speaking today, which is really good because I'm not really speaking really good today. So God knew in advance and set this up, and I'm just so proud. We're having our missions emphasis month. We're going to be talking, we've been emphasizing missions in the messages so far. Today we get to hear from folks, not just folks who talk about it, but folks who have dedicated their lives and been involved in it, moved their families to other countries, other continents, and just, they're just going to share their heart. But listen to me. Here's the real deal. Jesus Christ loves you. Okay? The Father gave His Son for you and me. It all starts with that. Starts with what He's done. You grow into this. Don't ever let missions or what the church is doing or fundraisers, don't get involved in just the religious stuff. That's something we grow into because we find out that God's got our back and that He loves us and He puts us into His mission. But don't ever get it flip-flopped like, I got to do something for God before He loves me. No, He loves you. Now you get the opportunity to do something in His name. That's part of it, okay? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. Lord, we love you. Thank you for how you orchestrated this so far in advance. It reminds me to say you're good. You're so good. And so, Father, I just want to, as we sing this, we're singing to you because you're worth it. Because you loved us, so we're loving you back. Pray in Jesus' name.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of Talk about lifting our hands to Him. We're reaching up to Him like a kid to a father. And I think about how my kids love my wife and I. And my kids are really smart. They love her more than me because they're smart. Because she's something else, right? Xander has gotten to where he does this thing. He's learning numbers, and numbers are good. I'm an English person. I'm sure numbers have purposes and places. But he looks at me the other day, and it's been, "Daddy, I love you 16. I love Mama 17. And he does know that there's increasing order there. But he's like, "Daddy, I love you 16. One morning he said, "Daddy, I love you 20. I'm like, "Hey." He loves Daddy 20. And he says, "And I love Mama 0, 0, 1. And part of me's like, and then he says, 100. Here's how much God loves us. It says, I think it's either Psalm 35 or 36. It says, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heaven. It's as high as the clouds. It's as big as the mountains. And so we sing this morning that we've got all these reasons to sing to a holy God, to say, God, I love you this much. It's because he loved us this much. Colossians chapter 1, he made peace by the blood of his cross, and he is something else entirely. And that's the reason we praise him this morning. Let's continue to sing together.
Thank you. myself alone again. My hopes and dreams are caving in. I find myself alone again, wandering in this land.
like to introduce friends of Sarah and I, Ted and Carrie Dewitt, and their two daughters. And I don't know your name. Maybe. I still don't because my hearing don't work. This is Cameron and Taylor over here in the Dewitt family. And we had the great privilege of going to seminary with them and meeting some godly folks. And I've been on some mission trips, okay? And I know that God has given me, as a Christian, responsibility of carrying out the Great Commission. But you're going to hear from some people today. Ted and Carrie are going to start off, or it might just be Ted, but however they do, they're going to start off. They didn't just go on a mission trip, they became missionaries. Y'all, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I can make a statement like, wow, it's really strange being overseas sharing Christ. But when they say, wow, it's really strange being overseas sharing Christ, it's a whole different ballgame. You know, it's like the difference between somebody who read about baseball and went to a baseball game as opposed to talking to somebody who is a, you know, Major League Baseball player. Does that make sense? And so I'm excited. Hear their voice. Hear the heart that they have. Again, you might say, you know, just hear them. So I'm glad to have them. Glad they came down here from Tupelo. We'll tell you there's an opportunity that I'll tell you about towards the end of the service with them being here. But then as soon as Ted is done with sharing his testimony, I'm not going to introduce Bert Schmitz. Y'all know Bert. I don't know if all y'all know that Bert and Suzanne spent you know, a decade and a half on the mission field with the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, and Ted and Carrie were also with that same mission sending agency. Y'all, that's something. You know, we get worried sometimes we move from one house to another in Grenada or Grenada County. You know, imagine moving, you know, to the Dominican Republic or to West Africa, like these folks have that we're going to hear from. So hear their heart, hear the Lord in there, and I'm not saying anything else.
Well, guys, I'm up here feeling a little bit unprepared, honestly, because I've got all kinds of notes and things, you know, that, but there's so many things that I could share. We've just seen God do some incredible things, but I wanted to, you know, be sure that whatever I shared was something that he was laid on my heart to share, you know, that's coming from him and not from me. And also being up here as well, having gone to seminary with John, he's a preacher. I mean, he's got the heart of a pastor, but he can bring the thunder, and I know that. And to get up here knowing that you guys get to listen to John every week, and now I'm up here. I'm not a preacher, guys. Okay, I'm not somebody that can stand up here and bring the thunder. Okay. But I can share with you from my heart and what the Lord laid on my heart to share with you. One thing John and I were just talking about a little bit ago, the founder of our seminary, Dr. B. Gray Allison, just died this past week at, 97? How old was he? He was old when I was in seminary, but that was 20 years ago, right here. But man, just a godly man, and we got to talking about other professors who had passed away. Dr. Wilkes, John was real close. What do they call you, Pastor John? Big John?
Big John?
Big John? Big John was real close to Dr. Wilkes, and he was somebody. He was a special guy, but he was sharing with me a little bit ago. He said, you know, last time I saw Brother Gray was at his funeral, and he said, you know, he said, Dr. Wilkes, he said, he was a different guy. That describes him. But then he said, he took a pause, and then he said, thank God he was a different guy. You know, he was different. And that's kind of just being here for a short time and seeing you guys and seeing this church. That's kind of the feeling I've got for this church. You guys seem different. Thank God you're different. That's refreshing. Having been to a lot of places and a lot of churches and things, it's refreshing seeing different in a good way. And I hope you guys realize that, realize what you've got and where you're at. For me, I just wanted to share a little bit about who I was and where I'm from, just so that you can kind of see how I guess in one way, how God can use somebody that's just a normal, everyday guy. I grew up right down the road here in Greenwood, Mississippi. Just like I said, a normal guy. Got my cousin sitting over here, Billy. I think some of you might know Billy, but he lives here in Grenada, and so I'm glad to see him this morning. Love Billy, but anyway, but I just grew up normal everyday guy. And when I say normal, I never wanted to be ordinary. I think normal and ordinary are two different things, honestly. And I say that because I feel like a lot of times complacency and mediocrity are enemies of us, enemies of the faith, enemies of what God wants to do in us. I think we should always constantly be striving to grow and be better, you know, in ourselves and grow in the Lord. And that's, I think, a little bit about what I wanted to share today. Because you can see, like, I'm a normal guy. I grew up working on a farm, you know, and I love that. And never really saw myself doing much. But I knew that I wanted to do something different. You know, I wanted to be somebody different for the Lord. And so that was kind of my whole heart, you know, when I started seeking out what the Lord would have me to do. That's kind of just where it led, was to the mission field. My first mission trip I took was when I was 18 years old. And that was about the first time I had almost been out of Mississippi. I mean, so when I say I grew up just normal, you know, and poor, all that, I mean, it was just, you know, we couldn't really afford to take any trips or anything. So I'd never been on an airplane or been out of the country or anything. But I felt the Lord calling me to go on a mission trip, you know, for whatever reason. And honestly, I grew up going to North Carrollton Baptist Church, which is right up the road here. And I walked the aisle when I was 8 years old, got baptized, and I'll come back to that in a second. But really, even when I was a senior, like I said, the first time I took a mission trip, I was not a believer at that point. You know, God was still working in my life. And for whatever reason, you know, he led me on a mission trip. And so going on that, he opened my eyes to, you know, to just seeing different cultures and things. And it pushed me out of my comfort zone, for one, because, like I said, never been on an airplane, never been out of the country, hardly been out of the state. But God allowed me the opportunity to go to Honduras with a group of people I'd never met before in my life. And I was the youngest one by about 20 years on that trip. And so... So to say I was out of my comfort zone was out of it. But anyway, but all that to say that the Lord just used little things along the way to lead me to the you know, to the field. But he led me to a beautiful lady over here. We met, for some reason or other, the Lord gave me her. I don't know why she gave her me, but. But he gave me a beautiful lady that's always been an encouragement and a godly lady. And from the moment that we met each other, it really started, and I liked her. But when we got engaged, that was our whole desire, was to serve the Lord together. You know, it wasn't just to get married or whatever, but, you know, and just live life. But we wanted to serve the Lord together, and that's been our heart, you know, from the beginning. And so, like I said, there's a lot of things I kind of share with you about what God's done in our lives and the way that He's just directed us and guided us. But you see those two little girls over there, they're twins. They were born premature. We had actually, when we were going through the process of going to the mission field, we went through the commissioning service, and we had tried for years to have children. But when we went through, it wasn't until we told God, yes, you know, we'll go to the field, you know, it's time to go. It wasn't until that point that He blessed us with children. We found out a month after we went through the commissioning service that we were pregnant, and then we found out at Christmas that. Day after Christmas, that we were going to have twins. And then they ended up being born premature. That's a whole story all on its own. They were born 3.5 months premature. And we, at that point, it was kind of a test, I feel like. you know, but because we had so many people that would come to us and say, well, y'all still planning on going to the mission field, you know? You're going to take the babies to the mission field? Oh, no, we're just going to leave them here. You know, we'll take care of them. But it's kind of us as a stupid question. Like, you know, God called us that, you know, to go to the field. He called us to follow him, and that's where he's leading us. So why would we disobey when he's blessed us? You know, when we started being obedient to him is when he blessed us with children. You know, why would we then say, oh, well, now we can't take them because, you know, I'm scared something might happen to them. But I'm sorry. I'm rambling. It's just like I said, I had so much stuff that's in my head rambling around, but I want to stay focused on what I feel like the Lord is leading me to tell you here. And I think the main thing is that you don't have to be anything special or extraordinary or whatever to follow God and what he's leading you to do. And since we're talking about missions, I feel like what all missions is, what Jesus told us to do was, if he narrowed down the Ten Commandments to two commandments, what are those? Love God and love people. And I don't know, John, but can you love God without loving people? Or can you love people without loving God? I think those kind of go together. I mean, they just do. You can't hate man and love God. You can't love God and hate man. But those two things go together, and all of life kind of boils down to that. It's loving God and loving people. And if we're growing in our relationship with the Lord, he's going to lead us to do what we can to be a blessing and to help others and all that. I feel like, too, when I was talking about you guys being a church that feels different, that's what I feel here, is like that you guys really strive to do that, you know, love people, love each other, love others, and not just those who love us, you know, but love people where they're at. And that's where mission starts. You know, you can talk about local missions, you can talk about international missions. You know, we had the opportunity to serve God in the Dominican Republic and in Ecuador, and we're very thankful for that. And hopefully we would like to go back to the international mission field someday. But in the meantime, you know, we're doing what we can to love people where they're at, you know, and to use what God's given us here just to be a blessing to others and to share the Lord with people that are around us. And a lot of times that's what it's about is growing where you're planted. You know, God may not call you to the other side of the world. I think everybody ought to take the opportunity to go on a mission trip, you know, across the county, across the state, across the country. Go to another country, you know, stretch yourself, help yourself grow, you know, grow in the Lord and what he would have you to do. But the biggest thing is grow where you're planted. You know, the Lord may up and call you to go somewhere one day. But until then, the biggest thing is to do what he's telling you to do right now, you know, grow where you're at. And that was the thing that was hard, I feel like, for me. Learning growing up, because I always wanted to know, like, what's the Lord calling me to do? What's he want me to do with my life, you know? And some wise people, you know, that spoke into my life said, well, you know, what are you doing? What's the last thing he told you to do? You know, what are you doing? Are you following him in the little things? You know, are you doing those little things? Are you growing in him every day? You know, are you spending time in his word, spending time in prayer, growing in Christ, growing in your relationship with him? You know, and if you're not doing that, why would he call you to something bigger? It's all about doing the little things, you know, and like I said, growing and learning how to love God, learn how to love people. And then, you know, he'll take you on those other steps, you know, and take you to other places and things. And maybe, you know, who knows, lead you around the world on different trips, you know, adventures, whatever. But And honestly, I mean, like I said, I don't know what all would be beneficial, I guess, for me to share with you guys, because there's so many things from our experience in our life. But it's not about us and what we've done. I guess what I want you to see is that God can use, you know, plain ordinary people, you know, that grew up right down the road, you know, they've never been out of the state. To do anything that he's called them to do, you know, because we're not called to be anything that, you know, it's in our own power anyway. You know, We're called to be to just be servants, you know, to be followers of Christ, and He's the one that works through us. It's not anything that we do anyway. It's what He does through us. And I think if I wanted to see, wanted y'all to see anything, that's the biggest thing, is it's Christ working in us and using us to be a blessing to others. And that's all our whole lives have been, is anything that we've, any blessing that we've been to others is really just the Lord using us. You know, we're blessed to be able to do that. And one thing I wanted to share, too, is like just some one of our experiences, I think, in the DR, and how, I guess, what life on the mission field is like. And I kind of like it. We were sitting around a campfire last weekend just out of the house, and I got to paying attention kind of to the fire. You know, I like to look at things around me, you know, and try to let the Lord, you know, just speak to me through different things. I feel like He's given us so many things around us. But just look at that campfire. And one of the girls was playing with a stick, you know, and she put it down in the fire and leave it there for a minute, pull it out, you know, to be on fire, and just start kind of running out around the yard, using it as a torch, you know, but it wouldn't last too long. It would go out, you know. And I kind of got to thinking about that. It's kind of how it feels as a missionary a lot of times. You know, you feel like that fire, I guess, and the embers and everything. That's kind of the church, you know, and that's your home base. And you feel like a lot of times as a missionary, you're kind of that stick that's taken out of that. You know, a lot of times you're put somewhere where you don't have that around you. You don't have other people to encourage you and to help you grow, you know, and just be there with you. So you feel kind of like that stick taken out of the fire, you know, and you just get put out real quick. Because we think a lot of times missionaries is people that are more spiritual, you know, or that somehow or another, by going overseas as a missionary, that makes you more spiritual. But if I could liken it to anything, it seems like that would be a good illustration. You know, that's why it's so important, I feel like, for the church. To support and to pray for missionaries. If you guys know people that are overseas, reach out to them, you know, and ask, you know, how can I pray for you? You know, how can I encourage you? Because that's a lot of times what it feels like in the spiritual, just the spiritual darkness and things you feel overseas are a lot different than what we see here. A lot of times we don't experience that kind of darkness here, you know. And one time, just to tell you a little story. We were having a Bible study at a church plant that we were trying to do in the Dominican Republic, and there's a religion called Santeria. There, it's really a mixture of voodoo and Catholicism. That's kind of what it boils down to, but it's demonic. It's evil, and there's so high a percentage of people that are involved in that. It's unbelievable. To think and to know, because we kind of asked people one time, you know, in a school that we were in, and it was kind of a Christian school. It was led by a Christian lady, you know, but we were asking, like, who in here, you know, has somebody in your family, in your house, that practices Santeria? And it was every person in that room had somebody in their house that practiced it. That's how dominant that is there. So much so that when we were having a Bible study in the schoolyard, we see smoke going up right next door, and they're over there chanting and calling up spirits right next door to us, and that's the spiritual darkness that you see there, and that's what you're fighting. So it's not a battle against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. And so that's why it's so important for us as the church. To pray for missionaries and encourage missionaries and reach out to them and say, well, how can we pray for you this week? You know, what can we do to encourage you? And so that to us, I feel like was the biggest difference. You know, it made the biggest difference. And we could feel that, you know, we could feel. A lot of times you don't know when you're going through through things that are spiritual. You know, you just think, man, it's just, you know, just have a hard day today. You know, you don't realize it when you're in the middle of it, but so reach out to guys if you know them. Reach out to the missionaries and people that you know. You know, and see. Like I said, see how you can join with them in prayer. And that's the biggest thing you do. Sure, go on trips, you know, and things like that. But don't forget about them while they're there, you know. It's the same thing as well with your pastor, with people that are in the ministry. Pray for them. regularly. Pray for them daily. Because it's a spiritual battle, people, and that's the only way we can fight it, is on our knees and to go before the throne, you know, and be in battle with them. And that's how we can be in battle with anybody that's in the ministry, you know, not just on the mission field, but be an encouragement to your pastor, you know, to everybody on your pastoral staff. And like I said, I think the biggest thing that I can share with you today is to do that, you know, go to battle, get on your knees for these guys, you know, for your pastor, for missionaries, and I'm sorry, that's the gist of what I wanted to share today, but if I can do with anything, do that, you know, be an encouragement, be someone that reaches out and prays for your pastor and missionary.
For those of you that don't know me, I'm Bert Schmitz. I am one of your pastors here. They call me the utility infield pastor because I do everything that John and Jamie won't do. So today you get a 2-for-1, right? It's always a good thing to get 2-for-1, right? Instead of one preacher, John, you got Ted and Bert. All right? So we're going to get right to the meat of what I want to talk about today. We're talking about Christ Community Church on mission, right? That's the last two sermons. That's what it's been about. And John's done a great job of laying out why we needed a Savior, why we need to go. Let's talk a minute about the end game, all right? The end game. Why do all this stuff? What's the end game? So we're going to look at four verses. It's found in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And listen to the response of everyone else in heaven to that. Because you have the angels who were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. So be it. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. God, as we look at your word here for a couple minutes and talk a little more about missions, we ask that you stir our hearts, that you speak to us about what you are on mission doing, what you want to accomplish in us, in our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world. Not for our glory, not so that people can say, "Look at them," but so people can say, "Look at our God and look how great He is." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is the end game? The end game is so that God gets all the glory and praise and honor forever and ever. Amen. From whom? Oh, y'all can answer this question. From us. From those who believe. Revelation and Romans, they both start with R, right? So they're the same thing. Romans 10, it tells us how beautiful are the feet of those who go and preach the gospel of good news. Why? It's not because they're good looking like me and Big John. It's not because we're eloquent speakers. It's because we bring a message of Jesus. We tell them about Jesus. We talk to them about Jesus, and we tell them who Jesus is. Now, Ted was telling us about people in Dominican Republic who are not like us. Well, I got some pictures of some people who are not like us I want you to look at here for just a second. If I did it right, they should come up. They should come up. There they are! Now, mine are all going to be a little bit darker. They should flip here in just a second. By the way, that's the oldest guy in the village that we lived in Senegal. Alassane Sani was his name. Never could get him to know Jesus by Savior and Lord because he was stuck in his traditional religion and in Islam. How'd you like to live in that place? That's a mansion just over the hilltop. Not really. They worship in different ways than we do. Where we were, it was a Muslim country. They worship different than us. They want their kids to buy into their religion and follow their God. You can gather them up. You show them a picture, a film, you can gather them up real quick. Now that's a picture, and Joshua just said, I remember that. Yeah, showing the Jesus film on a little TV. So that's little nowadays. That was big back then. Little TV. We had up to 70 people on our back porch watching the Jesus film. The story of Jesus based on the book of Luke. And still doing things different than us. By the way, boys, that picture of all them boys running with all that dust, if you didn't do that sort of thing, you couldn't become a man. Alright? So it's a different way of living. Oh, we got more rice picking. They're not like us. They don't necessarily look like us. They don't necessarily act like us. They don't talk like us. They don't believe like us. And sometimes they just don't like us. Alright? You've had that experience, haven't you? I had a guy come up and to me and he said, what are you doing here? You just want me to have more religion. That's what you're here for. You want me to have more religion. I looked at him and said, you got all the religion that you need. You got all the religion you need. What you need is a relationship with God who created you. So I told him about Jesus. He told me I was crazy. I told him about Jesus. He told me I was crazy. But at least he began to like me because he realized that I didn't want to change him. I wanted him to introduce him to the person who could change him, Jesus Christ. How about this? Not only do they not look like us, they live differently than us. Am I at the right place, Mom? Okay. You got to make sure your tech crew is always in line with you. So here we got. Yeah. Is that the next picture? Sorry. Ladies, how would you like to transport your goods home from the store like that? Yeah. Yeah, Joshua said, I hated those guys. Hey, look, when you had a party, you had to invite the party crashers. They come in and whoop you just to make sure that you would dance correctly. Yeah. That's the village mob. Boys, you talk about working hard. How'd you like to plow the field like that? Ted, you never had to plow the field like that, did you? Yeah, hardworking folks. They're fixing dinner. They live differently than us. It's a whole lot different world. But the whole point is they need to know Jesus just like we need to know Jesus. So, when you get overseas or to other places in the United States even, church just isn't the same as it is here. Now, understanding we're a little bit different church than the churches around us. Okay? Yeah, some of you going. Yeah. Oh! We're still living differently. I'm sorry, I got ahead of us. Sorry, Mom. All right. Let's get to the churches. Yeah. Churches come in different shapes. They're different than our church. Because what we want to do is as we introduce people to Jesus Christ, we want them to gather together as a church. We want them to gather together to be the people of God, worshiping where they are in their culture. Show those pictures, please. Pretty please? I'll tell you what that is. All right, so That's the worship team. How about that for a worship team? No guitar, no keyboard, just drums. That's a picture from when a group came from Christ Community Church to Togo to work with Suzanne and I. And they were gathering people up for church. Let me see. Shauna's not in here. Dad, how many people did y'all have show up for church when they started doing the drums? Huh?
About 300
people. Now, nobody had told them about Jesus. They just started playing the drums and people started to show up. They said, something's going on. People coming from everywhere. Why? Because it was something that they understood. Playing the drums, bring them along. You saw the picture of the tree? I don't know how many church services I've had underneath a mango tree. Out there in the middle of nowhere, you see some huts around you, but you're underneath the tree worshiping Jesus. You got the drums going. You got someone gets up and talks and gives a word from Jesus. You talk about Jesus wherever you can. You get the church wherever you can. Buildings made out of mud with tin roofs. Some of them got pretty high walls. They're like 8-9 feet tall. Those are the cool buildings. Some of them, the walls are about 6 feet tall with a tin roof in the middle of summer, and you get in there and it's packed. I mean, packed. This building, this room is supposed to seat around 300, right? Well, see, in Africa, if you have a room that can seat 300, you're going to have 500 to 600 in it. No air conditioning. No, the windows are little bitty teeny windows. But it's hot. They're getting together. They're having church because they love Jesus. And they want other people to know Jesus. Churches are different. But the cool thing about the churches is they send missionaries. Now, we should have missionaries doing different things, right? Okay. All right. So, you got dental missionaries. We had a guy come and pull about 250 teeth in 1 week. Yeah, he was tired. You have missionaries going out to the village and preaching. Now, the cool thing about that is we had a guy coming from America to come preach, and it ended up the Africans preached for him. That's pretty cool, right? Because they knew Jesus. They wanted to tell him about Jesus in their language. Y'all recognize that lady in that last picture? That was Shauna. She was there helping us out. Yeah, she said, when I told her it was a picture of her, she said, oh my Lord. In Senegal, I want to tell you about this man here. Melamine, the guy handing off the mud ball that's going to be a brick in the wall. Melamine is the first convert that we had in Senegal. A Muslim man who had his traditional religion tucked in underneath that. When I asked him about what he believed, he said, well, my skin is Islam, but my blood is my traditional religion. You catch that? They got lots of religion. They're trying to put their foot in every camp they can to make sure they're covered. All right? Started talking to him about Jesus. And I talked to him a little bit, and he was at our house all the time. So he saw how we lived. And one day he said, you know, I like what you say about Jesus, but I like a whole lot more what you live about Jesus. He says, I hear your words, but what's more impressive is what I see. Because I see it's not just a skin to you. It's not just something that you do because that's what you're paid to do. That you really believe this and that you want me to have it too. He says, I want to know Jesus. So I told him how to know Jesus. Been telling him several times, but I told him again. He said, yeah, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, buried and rose again the third day. And I want to follow him. I give him my heart. One guy in a village of 600, primarily Muslims, said, I want to know Jesus. I was a little worried about him. I was a little worried that things weren't going to go well and that he was going to be run out of his village. I don't know what happened. They didn't run him out of the village. He told people he was a Jesus follower. We were at that dental clinic, listened to a song that had been done over in traditional religion about Jesus loving us. And I asked the question, I said, how do you know that God loves you? How do you know that God is, that's actually was God is so good as was the song. How do you know that God is good? Some of the folks that were sitting there said, well, he gives us rain for our crops. He takes care of us. You know, pretty good Sunday school answers. Muslims know Sunday school answers, by the way. Melamine jumps up and he says, nah, that ain't right. We know that God loves us because God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live on earth the perfect life. He was buried. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's how we know that God loves us. Thank you. I was hoping I'd get an amen. That is the end game. The end game. To get them to know Jesus so that they can proclaim Jesus as well. Now, who is the they? Say that again real loud. Right here.
The people that don't know.
Did y'all hear that? Say that real loud. Right here. Right here.
The people that do not know.
It's the people that don't know. That's who they are. It's not just necessarily people in Senegal, Togo, Ecuador, or the Dominican Republic. How about the people down the street that don't know Jesus? We're about to go on a trip to Fort Worth to talk to people who don't know Jesus. They need to know Jesus just as bad as the folks in Senegal, in Togo, Dominican Republic, and Ecuador. The people down the street need to know Jesus as much as those other folks. Whose job is it? All together, I want y'all to say, all together. It's a big word. It's probably the hardest word in the world to say. Ours. On three. One, two, three.
Ours.
That's right. It's our job, church. Let's get out there and do it. Let's go out there so that when we get up there and we see every people, a great multitude from every people, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, we'll be able to see people and say, man, I'm so glad you made it. I'm so glad when I told you about Jesus, you listened and believed. I'm so glad that you listened and believed. I'm so glad that you listened and believed. Because that's what the end game is, and that's what we need to do. Well, we're going to have a time of invitation. And I'm not real good at leading invitation time, but this is what I want y'all to do. This is the point where it don't matter what they sing. You don't have to sing with them right now. What you need to do, this is your time to go, how am I going to respond to what Jesus is telling me? How am I going to respond? Because Jesus don't ever speak that he doesn't want someone to do something. What it is that Jesus wants you to do. Do you need to trust Jesus to be your Savior? If you do, don't walk out that door. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Make it public. Come up here and tell John or me or LG or somebody else. All right? Do it. Is God telling you, I want you to take a step of faith and do something even more extraordinary than what you've been doing. I want you to lead that children's worship group. Now that scares lots of people. You want me to do what? Go in there with all them kids? Maybe God wants you to teach a Sunday school class or another class. Be open to that. That is just as much the mission field as going to Senegal. Maybe God wants you to talk to your neighbor about Jesus, or the guy down the street, or your co-workers, or maybe God wants you to go somewhere else, and he's been laying on your heart, I want you to go to Africa, and you've been a little stubborn and said, I ain't going. They got snakes, they got spiders, they got people that want to eat you over there. Alright? Oh no, that's Hawkham. That's right. Hey look, maybe God wants you to go to Hawkham. They got some crazy folks in Hawkham. You know that?
Yeah.
One of them sitting right, Randy's sitting right there. Yeah, there's a whole row of them there. I wasn't going to say that before you spoke up there, Randy. But look, God's mission field is where God wants you to be. Get up, church. Go. Be that missionary. Talk to people about Jesus. Y'all make a decision as the band leads.
Race background is, your ethnicity, your sin background, or your financial background. I don't care if you're one of the letters like LGBTQPRSV. I don't care, man. Because Jesus saves everybody. That's the bottom line. It don't matter. There's a reason why the people who were drunk and in immoral lives, when they saw Jesus in the Gospels, they gathered around him. Because he was a light and a hope. And y'all, that's what we're doing in missions, is we're promoting that light and hope as for everybody. So if the ushers would come down and take the morning offering, I'm going to pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to give our offering, give of our tithes and our offerings. It's a blessing, Lord, because you give us everything. I wish folks, Lord, help us understand how dependent we are on you. And as soon as we start feeling really big, would you hold our breath for a second just to remind us that we're not here under our own power and that we ought to be thankful. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
How many names can I use to explain the love of my Jesus, the life that he gave? And so many times will I praise you today, lift up my life. Cause you're always the same, and my offering to you I bring. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Jesus. You're the Savior.
Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. And we love you, Lord. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for letting me be your pastor. I love you. Ready?